The book of John, chapter 18, I want to begin reading this morning in verse number 18. John chapter 18, and beginning in verse number 28. John 18, in verse number 28. The Bible says, "Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment, and it was early. And they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out unto them and said, What accusation bring ye against this man? They answered and said unto him, If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto thee. Then Pilate said unto them, Take ye him and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, It is not lawful for us to put any man to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled which he spake, signifying what death he should die. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thy own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate said unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went not again out again unto the Jews, and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. In verse number 37, the Bible says, To this end was I born, for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. And then probably one of the most famous questions in the Bible, Pilate asked Jesus this question, What is truth? What is truth? I want to preach on that thought this morning. What is truth? Many of you are here this morning in the service, and you're looking for somebody to tell you the truth. You're looking for the truth about life. You want to know how to get to heaven. You want to know how to live. You want to know how to live for God. But the most important thing in life that you're probably looking for is the truth. The truth on how to get to heaven. Jesus said in the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 32, Jesus says, And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. The truth shall set you free. Psalm 51, verse 6. David said, Thou desirest truth in the inward parts. Psalm 117, verse 2. The truth of the Lord endureth forever. Psalm 100 and verse number 5. The Bible says, His truth endureth to all generations. His truth endureth to all generations. I remember in 1994, my wife and I were moving to Winston-Salem from Stokesdale. My brother was also moving, my twin brother, Johnny, and my brother and his wife were moving from my mother's house to another house. My brother had a great big, one of these big old pianos, and so he gathered some guys together, and I'm a big old husky, stout guy, and so I decided, well, I'm just going to help him pick up that piano. Biggest mistake ever made in my life. And trying to help pick up that big piano. About a month later, all of a sudden, I had some excruciating pains. I had no idea where those pains were coming from. It just went all the way down my leg. And I got scared. I thought, Lord, what's the matter with me? And so my wife said, You need to go to the doctor to find out the truth. You need to go to the doctor to see exactly what happened to you. I didn't want to go to the doctor because, you know, you're always afraid the doctor's going to give you some bad news. So I decided, well, I'm just going to go to the doctor and find out exactly what's going on. So I went to my chiropractor, who's a Christian chiropractor. He took x-rays. He didn't find anything wrong. Well, I knew there was something wrong because I felt it. So So finally I went to another doctor who x-rayed me, and he said, I can tell you your problem. I really can't see the problem, but I think this is what it is. And here's what he said. I think this is what it is. I knew exactly what I'd done. I knew exactly, I was tracing back exactly where what happened to me and why I messed my leg up. And it all came back to picking up that dumb piano. And so I remember as I went to the doctor, he said, I think you pulled the ligament. I think you pulled the tendon. He said, guess what? There's nothing we can do about it. Well, you know, that didn't take care of the pain. And I was still in quite a bit of pain. And I said, Doc, what am I supposed to do? He said, don't lift any more pianos. Don't lift any more pianos. I said, well, I'm glad you told me the truth. And so since then, I have lifted some pianos before. But I lifted that piano wrong. And man, it just went all the way down my leg. And the doctor said, oh, by the way, there's no blood flow that goes through your ligaments and tendons. It'll take a long time to heal. But you know, I was scared to go to the doctor because I was afraid the doctor was going to tell me the truth. But I did want to know the truth. I wanted to know exactly what my problem was. I remember in 2006 when my immune system just went chaos. I remember a fellow called me on the phone one day. He was a Christian. He was a pastor. And here's what he said. He said, preacher, he said, I've got this new product. I've got this new juice. It's called Limu. And I said, what is that? He said, that'll take care of any kind of pain you got. And he was with multi-level marketing. And he said, if you'll buy this product, then you start selling this product, you can help hundreds and hundreds of people. And it'll cure just about anything. Well, I want to know if it's going to cure everything. But he said, it'll cure just about anything. Well, I bought that case of Limu, started taking that thing, and didn't feel any different. About a year later, this guy said, well, you know, I found out this product that's supposed to cure about everything doesn't work. So here's what he said to me. He said, you know, he said, I found another product. And this other product is supposed to cure just about everything. And I said, well, don't sell me that other product because this other product didn't work. And so I said, if this product really works, I said, can you tell me how it's worked on you? Just tell me the truth. Does it really work? Does it really work? I got a call yesterday. I got a call Wednesday. I was getting ready to come to church Wednesday night about 6:25. I got a call from a lady in Oklahoma, and her name is Betty. And I've known Betty for several years, just about on the phone. And she does multi-level marketing. And here's what she said. She said, Brother Manuel, she said, I've got this new product. I said, I'm getting ready to go to church. Can you call me back? Well, she calls me back yesterday, and she said, I got this new product, and it's 100% cure. It'll cure 100%. I said, all right, you tell me what it will cure. She said, well, it'll cure heart disease. It'll cure muscle pain. It'll cure gout. It'll cure blood pressure. It'll cure cancer. It'll cure all your joints. I said, are you absolutely true? It'll cure everything. Can you tell me the truth? And she said, well, let me just tell you all this done for my friends. And I begin to think about, you know, you have all these people. They tell you, now, this will help you. I want to tell you the truth. But you know, everybody's body is different. It may help somebody, but it may not help the other fellow. But here, Pilate, in this particular chapter, Pilate said, he said, I want to know the truth. He was talking to Jesus. And he said, I want to know you the truth. I want to know the truth. I want to know the truth. I remember years ago, I had picked up a book by Kevin Trudeau. Some of you may have heard of Kevin Trudeau. Kevin Trudeau was somewhere in the East and came to Arizona, I believe it was, or one of these Western states, and he was having some heart disease. So he wrote a big, thick book on how to live a long life and how to be healthy. And so I got his book, began to read a lot of his material, and I thought, you know, what you got hadn't helped me either. And I thought, Lord, I just want to know the truth. What's going to help me? And you may be sitting here this morning. You may be having some ailments, some problems, some sickness, and some things that may be bothering you. And you want the doctor to tell you the truth. You want him to tell you the absolute truth. And you go to the doctor. And the doctor says, this will cure you 100%. The doctor says, I'm just practicing medicine. But he said, it'll cure you 100%. And I want a doctor that's going to tell me the truth. And you want somebody that's going to tell you the truth about life. You know, I thank God for good doctors. I thank God for Dr. Wattenberger. And if it hadn't been for Dr. Wattenberger, we probably would have lost our oldest daughter in North Carolina. But a great doctor. And then 7 months later, my other son was in a car wreck, Dr. Finger. And Dr. Finger did a surgery on his back and put a rod in his back. And thank the Lord for good doctors. Thank the Lord for good doctors. But what I want to know is I want them to tell me the truth. When I was growing up, when I was about 6 years old, 7 years old, my mother got interested in game shows on TV. There's a man that started a game show whose name was Bud Collier. And from 1956 to 1968, and 400 episodes, and the title of the game show was To Tell the Truth. Some of you may remember those days when you first turned it on and you saw To Tell the Truth. Bud Collier, no kin to Collier Elementary School. But I think about that program. I want to know the truth. Several years later, in 1956 to 1975, there was a young man that started a show. His name was Bob Barker. Anybody ever heard of Bob Barker? Bob Barker, The Price is Right, and Truth or Consequences. I was on the internet yesterday, and I pulled up Truth or Consequences. And it was interesting what I saw when I saw the words Truth or Consequences. On the very top of the word truth, it had a halo on the top. When you cross over to consequences, it had a pitchfork on the top of consequences. And I thought, that's interesting. Why would it have a halo on this side on the truth and consequences, and it have a pitchfork on the other side? And I begin to think about what the Bible said. The Bible talks about truth. Truth will set you free. Truth will set you free. And the question that Pilate asked Jesus is a question that millions of people are asking today. What is the truth? What is truth? Jesus said in John 14, verse 6, Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. When Pilate said or asked Jesus the question, what is truth? You remember the statement Pilate made after that? Pilate said, I find in him no fault at all. Because Jesus is truth. When you look at man, you'll find fault in man. When you look at our nation, you'll find fault in our nation. When you look at our president and our government and our economy, you'll find fault. Everywhere you look, you find fault. When you look at medicine and doctors and materialism, even your job, you'll find fault. But wait a minute. When you look at Jesus Christ, you will never find fault in Jesus Christ. You say, why? Because He is the absolute truth. He is the absolute truth. The other day, I was reading a testimony from a church up in Toledo, Ohio. Pastor Rick Soles, the pastor there at Hope Baptist Church. And I began to scroll down a different men there on the staff there at the church. I came down to one man by the name of Matt Bernsdorf. And this young man was 26 years old, and his name is Matt. And Matt had a house, a beautiful house, had two small children, and had a swimming pool in his backyard, had a good job. And he was out on his swimming pool one day, just laying there on one of his rafts, and here's what he said. He said, man, I got it made. Life is good. The steaks are on the grill. I own my own home. I got a beautiful wife whom I dearly love. I've got great kids. I got a family. I got friends. And I'm living for the parties. 26 years old. Then all of a sudden, while he was sitting there, a still small voice spoke to him and said to him, something is missing in your life. Something is missing in your life. He went inside the house, got his white Bible, big old family Bible, and opened it up. And as he opened it up, he came across Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 16, where Jesus is writing to the churches, and Jesus is saying, he says, you are lukewarm, and I will spew thee out of my mouth. And he said, God would not let me rest. And every day I begin to think about that verse, and all of a sudden my heart got greatly disturbed while I thought about that verse. And while I thought about that still small voice, something is missing in your life. He said at the age of 26 years old, he said all of a sudden, depression set upon me. And he said, then here's what I did. He said, well, I decided to try to get rid of that thought and try to, I thought, I just go to drinking. So he said, I kept drinking and kept drinking. And I tried to drown out that thought of something is missing. And then I began to think about my destiny. And then all of a sudden, when I'd come into the house, every time I'd come home from work, I'd come to the house and I was irritable with my wife. My wife was irritable with me. And so they begin to, you know, talk about maybe separation. A lot of things were happening in his life. And so his wife, by the name of Vicki, asked him a question. And she said, Matt, she said, what are the 10 most top important things in your life? And here's what he said. He said, the most important thing in my life is my job. And then he said this. He said, next is my family. And then he said this. If it wasn't for my job, I could not take care of my family. With tears in her eyes, Vicki said, what about God? What about God? What are you going to do with God in your life? And all of a sudden, he faced the truth. He faced the truth. You know, I never thought about God. You see, Matt was a prideful man. Matt had everything going his way, he thought. But inside, Matt was missing something in life. And then she pops that question, what about God? I never thought about that. And all of a sudden, he was faced with the truth about God. You say, preacher, what did he do? He faced it. And he accepted the truth. He did not reject the truth. He went to a counselor. And he said, something's missing in my life. I got to find out what it is. I don't know what's missing. And that pastor said to him, you ever thought about God? You ever thought about God? When Pilate asked that question, what is truth? He realized that he was talking to the one that had everlasting life. The one that could give him the truth. Now I want to ask you a question. What is the truth? Jesus said, again, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Now, quickly, I want to give you three things very quickly this morning. What is the truth about the Bible? Most of you here this morning have a Bible there in your lap. If you don't have one, we have some back on the table. But here we preach the truth. We preach the Bible. Because the Bible is the truth. Jesus said this in the Gospel of John 17. Jesus says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Thy word is truth. You remember what Paul said? Paul said in the Bible, he said, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. You know, this Bible will furnish everything that you need because it's the absolute truth. It is the absolute truth, my friend. You say, preacher, what do you mean? The Bible will explain to you about the cross, how man gets to heaven. The songwriter wrote the song, at the cross where I first saw the light. And the burden of my heart was rolled away. The cross. Jesus died on the cross. He was buried. And on the third day, He arose again, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It's all in the Bible. This is the truth, my friend. The truth about the Bible. And then He talks about the crucifixion. The Bible reveals or teaches us about His crucifixion. You read the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, and Luke and John. And it talks about His crucifixion. I met a man yesterday who was a Jewish man. And I wanted to read to him yesterday the book of Isaiah chapter 53. He knows nothing about the crucifixion. Knows nothing about Jesus Christ. By the way, the Jewish people, they're looking for somebody to set up their kingdom. They don't know that He's died. But yet the Bible reveals the crucifixion. And by the way, the Bible reveals who Christ is. Do you remember what Peter said in the book of Matthew chapter, I believe it's chapter 16, where the question is asked, whom do men say that I am? And Peter said, some say that thou art Elias, some say that thou art John the Baptist. And then Jesus asks the question, but who do you say that I am? You remember what Peter said? Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. The Son of the He is the Christ. And by the way, the Bible reveals who Christ is. He is the Son of the living God. You read the book of John, chapter 1, all the way through the book of John, 21 chapters. It reveals who Jesus Christ is. He is God. He is the Christ. He is the Christ. By the way, the Bible reveals about the church. Christ loved the church and gave Himself for the church. By the way, the Bible reveals about our country. About our country. You remember what Proverbs 14:34 says? Righteousness will exalt a nation. Or righteousness exalteth a nation. If we get back to the Bible, the truth, it'll exalt our nation. It will, I promise you, it'll exalt our nation. But what about education? We need the Bible. What about our government? We need the Bible. We need better teachers. We need more money. What about the Bible? What about God? Whatever happened to God? Whatever happened to the truth? What I'm saying, the truth here is that the Bible is the Word of God. What about our children? You know, the Bible teaches you how to raise children. It teaches you from cover to cover how to raise children. And when you read the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 6, Ephesians chapter 5, and the book of Colossians, it'll teach you how to raise your children. You say, what do you mean? Well, the Bible is the truth. You ever read the newspaper and all of a sudden you just want to throw the newspaper away? I mean, such bad news. You turn the TV on and you watch the news and you want to throw that TV away because you say, man, is there no good news at all? Well, right here's the best news you'll ever find because this is the truth. It tells you everything that you need to know about how to get to heaven. The truth of the Word of God. David said in Psalm 138, verse number 2, David said, I will praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word even above thy name. Why do you think so many people have tried to get rid of the Bible? They said, I think it was a Beatles said years ago, I think it was John Lennon said this, he said, Christianity will go, Christianity will stop, but rock and roll music will keep on going. Wait a minute, John Lennon's dead, but Christianity and the Bible still here, my friend. The truth will set a man free. It'll set a man free. The Bible says 66 books in the Bible, not 72, not 100, only 62 books in this one Bible, written over a period of 1,500 years by 40 different authors. And the Bible says we have a more sure word of prophecy. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. We don't need to rewrite it. We just need to reread it. Amen. Just keep reading the Bible because it is the truth. It is the truth. Do you remember in the Old Testament I was talking to a lady yesterday, and her mother was here Wednesday night, and she was here Sunday night, and she's planning on being here tonight. Her daughter said to me yesterday, she said, I really don't know anything about the Bible. She said, can you explain to me? She said, it doesn't really make any sense to me. So I began to explain to her from the book of Genesis about Adam and Eve. And I said, God said to Adam and Eve, do not eat off that fruit. Don't eat off of that tree. That's what God said. And then I said, here's what the devil said. Yea, hath God really said? So here's what happens today. Everybody questions the truth. They question what the truth is. I got a little nervous this morning. And Brother Dan Menka got up here and put his robe on. I thought, man, are we in court? Are we standing for the judge here? I've stood in front of a few of those guys. But he stands up this morning and puts that robe on. I thought, right, this is a judge right here. We all have to stand up and rise. But wait a minute. When you stand before God, He's going to judge us by the truth here, by the Word of God. the truth. Because the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. God's Word should not change. This is God's Word, my friend. And the Bible convicts the soul of man of his sin. Several months ago, one of our fellows was witnessing. Brother Adam was witness to a guy that was of another religion, and I think he was I think he was from Iraq. He was a Muslim. Brother Adam began to witness to him, and a man said, "I'm 18 years old. I've never heard that in my life." And all of a sudden, you could see the conviction upon his heart, because Brother Adam began to tell him the truth. And you see, the Bible is the truth. It convicts. It converts the soul of man from death to life. It changes the man for all eternity. By the way, it cuts to your heart. That's why people don't want to read it, because it cuts to your heart. You know, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 4, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of sunder." You know that word asunder means it cuts right in two? It cuts right in two. It cuts asunder, dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and of the marrow. You know, the marrow is inside your bones. It even cuts to the marrow and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And the Bible says all things are naked and open under the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. And the Word of God penetrates your heart. It'll change it. It's a sword. By the way, it's a two-edged sword, the Bible said. It's also a hammer. It'll chisel away the things in your heart. It's a knife. It cuts. It divides. It's like a fire, and it penetrates to the heart. Why? Because it's the truth. It's the truth. A lady told me the other day, she said, "Preacher," she said, "I want to keep coming to your church." She said, "I want to know the truth." I said, "You keep coming, and God will show you the truth. He will show you the truth." And so, what is the truth about the Bible? It's God's Word. Then let me give you my second thought. What is the truth about the blood of Christ? What's the truth about His blood? I want to ask you to turn to the book of Hebrews chapter 9 for just a moment. Hebrews chapter 9 for just a moment. Hebrews chapter 9. And look with me in verse number 16. What is the truth, as Pilate said? What is truth? What is the truth about His blood? Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 16. Notice what the Bible says. Hebrews 9, verse 16. The Bible says, "For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is a force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Whereupon, neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, This is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood." Now notice what he said in verse 22. "And without shedding of blood is no remission." In other words, without the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ, man cannot be forgiven of his sin. It comes through the blood of Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, I was explaining to this young lady yesterday about Cain and Abel. And she said, "I remember that story." And then I said to the lady, "You know, the Bible says that Abel brought unto God the firstlings of his flock. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering." Why? Because it was a blood sacrifice. Blood was shed. And Abel confessed his sins and he put his faith in that substitute. Wait a minute. Jesus had not died yet, but he put his faith in that lamb, that substitute. And the flock was a type of Christ, where John the Baptist said in John 1, "Now behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world." You know, in the Old Testament, The blood of calves and goats, they could not actually take away your sin. It was just a covering until the time of Jesus Christ and His shed blood on the cross of Calvary. Look at chapter 9 of Hebrews and verse number 12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood, He entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. By the way, He'll never go back to the cross again. By the way, He'll never die again. By the way, He'll never offer blood upon the mercy seat. He only done it once, my friend. That's why salvation is only one time. You don't get saved Sunday, and next Sunday you get saved. It's only one time you become saved. You think about the Passover in the Bible. The Lord said, I will go into Egypt about midnight, and I will pass through the land of Egypt. And all that has the blood upon the doorpost and upon the lintel, I will pass over you. But you got to have the blood applied. And I will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, and I will execute judgment. And the blood shall be for you for a token upon the houses. And when I see the blood, I want to ask you a question. Have you had the blood of Christ applied to your heart? Have you been saved by the grace of God? If not, then someday you'll stand before God, judgment seat or the great white throne judgment, without any hope, my friend, forever and forever lost without Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 12, and the plague shall be upon you to destroy you if you don't have that blood applied to your life. What I'm saying, the truth, what is the truth about the blood of Jesus Christ? You remember what John the Apostle writes? John the Apostle said, in the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. You see, the truth right here reveals man's sinful condition. He must have the blood applied to his life. He must have that blood. You see, the blood, the Passover, their sins were purged. Hebrews 9:22, again, the Bible says, and without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. By the way, we're purged from our sin. And by the way, that blood was God's blood. That blood was pure blood. By the way, did you know this morning the blood that you have is Adam's blood? When God created Adam, because of Adam's sin, we're all sinners. Wherefore, is by one man sin entered to the world, and death by sin. So we have Adam's blood. But wait a minute, what about Jesus Christ? Whose blood does He have? His blood is not the blood of Mary or Joseph. His blood is God's blood. His blood is pure, my friend. Because the Bible says, with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without spot and without blemish. Your blood is tainted, my friend. Your blood is sinful blood. That's why we need a Redeemer. That's why we need the blood of Jesus Christ, my friend, without spot and without blemish. When you read the New Testament, Jesus went about several different places and He began to heal the sick. He began to raise the dead. He began to give sight to the blind. And He began to touch those that were palsied and were diseased with diseases. But you read in Mark chapter 2, where Jesus goes to Caesarea. And there's a man that was a palsied man. And Jesus comes to the man, and here's what He said. He said, thy sins be forgiven thee. Do you remember what the scribe said? The scribe said, they reasoned in their hearts, said, why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God? But wait a minute, He was God. And He is God. And by the way, when a man says he can forgive sins, he's really blaspheming God. Because no man can forgive sins. You look at his hands. He didn't die for you. Only Jesus Christ had the authority to forgive man. Only God can forgive man's sins. Jesus Christ. Because He died and He shed His precious blood. What is the truth this morning about the Bible? What is the truth about His blood? Now, let me give you my third thought. What is the truth about the blessed hope. The blessed hope. The coming of Jesus Christ. Let me read a verse of Scripture. Don't turn for the sake of time. Titus 2:13-14. The Bible says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The Bible says, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. I'm looking for Him, the blessed hope. Just a moment ago, several minutes ago, Brother Dennis asked me a question. He said, now, preacher, he said, I'm fixing to go to the camp up there where your daughters are. He said, do you want me to bring anything back? I said, I sure do. I said, I want you to bring my daughters back. Because the day they left, I've been looking for them. I've been looking for them. You ought to see my wife this week. All three of my daughters were gone all week long. And she was in a daze all week long. I couldn't even get through. I couldn't even talk to her. And I said, honey, I said, what are you going to do after they're gone? We've got to have a honeymoon. What are you going to do? I said, we got to get to know each other again. But you know, I begin to think about my daughters. I'm looking for them. And I'm praying you'll bring them back. And what I'm saying is, Jesus said, I'm going to go away someday. But the Bible says we need to keep looking for the blessed hope. We need to keep looking for Jesus Christ. The Bible speaks about His return. Jesus said, I will come again. I want to ask you a question. Are you looking for Him? You say, preacher, I'm kind of like Matt was before he was saved. I got my business, I got my pool, I got my parties, I got my sick, I got everything going for me. But what about God? Are you looking for Him today? You see, He may come today, the Bible says. The Bible says in Acts chapter 1, two men stood by them in white apparel said, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up for you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen Him go into heaven. Are you looking for the blessed hope? Amen. My friend, this life is going to be over with shortly. I just turned 58 years old. Some of you here this morning, you're in your 60s. Some of you in your 70s. And life, it just keeps on going faster and faster and faster. I want to ask you a question. What are you looking for in death? Are you looking for Him? I heard a preacher say one time, he said, I'm not looking for the undertaker. I'm looking for the upper taker. Amen. I'm looking for Jesus Christ to come get me. I want Him to come, my friend. I want Him to come. And you see, it's going to be a great reunion day. The Bible says, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. What a reunion that's going to be. The Bible says, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. By the way, it's going to be not only a day of reunion, but it's going to be a day of rest. You say, what do you mean, preacher? What do you mean a day of rest? You know, heaven's just one day. Say, well, there's no night there. There's no sunshine. There's no moon. Jesus is the Son of Righteousness. He's the sunshine. What I'm saying is just one long day, the Bible says, and we'll rest from our labor here for all eternity, my friend. What a day that's going to be. What a day. And it'll be a day, His coming will be a day of rewards. The Bible says, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give to every man according as his work shall be. It'll also be a time of reigning with Him. The Bible says, He has made us under our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth with Him forever and forever and forever. The Bible says, if we suffer with Him, we will also reign with Him. Now, back in your text, the Bible says, John 18, verse 38, what is truth? What is truth? The Bible is the truth. The Word of God. His blood is the truth. Jesus died. And the blessed hope, Jesus is coming someday. The Bible says, and the truth will set you free. You say, preacher, I'm bound by my sin and things are just not going right in my life and I have no idea how to get to heaven. Well, let me introduce you to Jesus Christ this morning. He's the truth. He's the way. And He is the life. Now I want to ask you, will you face the truth today and accept Christ as the only way to heaven? Or will you face the consequences and die in your sins forever without God and without hope forever in hell, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched? You say, "Preacher, how do you know that you've got the truth?" Because God changed my heart 44 years ago. He gave me joy. He gave me peace. He gave me assurance. He gave me hope of heaven and expectation. God changed my life. When I die, I know for sure I'm going to go to heaven. You say, "Preacher, what do you mean?" The Bible says, "It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment." I want to ask you a question. Do you know for sure heaven's your home? If you don't know, we want to give you the truth and tell you how to get to heaven. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, as we think about millions and millions and billions of people today are asking that question, what is truth? What is truth? Father, I pray for those perhaps in this service. They have no idea that heaven's their home. They have no idea that Jesus Christ lives in their heart. And Lord, as best as I knew how, I told them the truth. Jesus is the way. He's the only way. The Bible says, "For there is one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus." And Father, I pray this morning, if there's somebody without Christ, I pray they'll trust You as our personal Savior. Father, we thank You for what You do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.